The Sports Report is brought to you by iHome, the number one brand in digital audio. From Lightning Dock alarm clocks to rechargeable Bluetooth boomboxes and quality affordable headphones, iHome has you covered. To learn more, head to iHomeAudio.com. Welcome to episode number 423 of the Sports Report. I'm Paul Roberts on GrizzlyProductions.tv. New shows every Monday on The Grizz. The show is also free in the podcast section of iTunes. And you can follow me on Twitter at the Sports RPT. The Sports RPT. I had a great weekend. Went with a couple buddies down to Atlantic City, and the zeros were hitting. You know, I like to play roulette, and I'm playing the green numbers, the zero, the double zero. Some say it's playing with the house, but hey, if they're hitting, I could care less what anybody says. So we had a good time down there in Atlantic City. And then Sunday night, the season finale of Game of Thrones. Listen, I was late to the party with Game of Thrones. I thought it might be this dorky Dungeons and Dragons type of show for guys who are still living in their parents' basements, throwing back Cheetos all night long. But once I got into it, I binged watched several seasons to get caught up. And the show, I mean, it never skips a beat. I mean, fantastic season finale of Game of Thrones. And when it was over, I still caught the end of the Copa America final because nobody scored. I didn't miss a single goal. So I got to see the end of that. We have a lot of stories to get to coming up on episode 423 of the Sports Report. Hope you're doing well. Kevin Durant plans on meeting with three more teams to discuss free agency. I'll break down all of the contenders in a minute. Some shocking soccer news after that Copa America final. We'll get into that. Bulls and Knicks were in the headlines recently. Derrick Rose goes from the Windy City to the Big Apple. Is it a good trade for New York? I say yes. Because I'm a college basketball junkie, I love the NBA draft. Feel free to call me a draft geek. I admit it. I won't deny it. My take on the NBA draft coming up, although I'm not sure I have time to comment on all 38 picks by the Boston Celtics. Or was it 37? I lost track. Every time I looked up, Boston was on the clock again. Plus, a quick look back to Game 7 of the NBA Finals between the Cavs and Warriors from a business perspective, a financial perspective. All of that and more on this edition of the Sports Report podcast. Thanks so much for tuning in. Spread the word. 30 to 40 minutes, fast-paced, high-energy sports talk without the homerism that you're used to. All right, let's start with Kevin Durant. KD and his representatives have reportedly added meetings with the Celtics, the Heat, and the Clippers. Those three teams add the previously reported plans for meetings with the Warriors, Spurs, and the Thunder. Durant's also considering meeting with the Knicks, but he has no plans to talk to his hometown team, the Washington Wizards, and the Wizards were already doubting their chances of signing Durant. Listen, this guy is a game-changing player. He's 27. He spent his entire 9-year career with the Thunder. He averaged 28 points last season. When this guy gets you 30, you don't even blink. You don't even think twice about it. It's not even a real story. Oh, Kevin Durant had 30 again last night. It's like no big deal. And he got the Thunder to within one win of the NBA Finals. OKC lost to Golden State in the Western Conference Finals. Certainly no shame there. NBA free agency officially begins Friday, July 1st. That's when they can start talking. Players can't formally sign until July 7th. So that's the timeline there. Now, there's no question that we're talking about one of the premier players in the league. He's a 7-time All-Star. He was Rookie of the Year back in 2007-2008 coming out of Texas. He was MVP in 2014. this is the biggest story now in the NBA. Now that the finals are over and LeBron got that championship and everybody in Cleveland's doing jumping jacks. By the way, has J.R. Smith put a shirt on yet? I mean, even the president took notice. Barack Obama called up Tyronn Lue and was talking to him about his guys with their shirts off. I mean, that's how far this thing got. Man, oh man. But now that that's over, and credit to the Cavs, the big story is what happens with Kevin Durant. And some think, you know, maybe he'll just sign a one-year deal and stay in Oklahoma City, and then we'll go through this whole free agency thing next summer. But there are some who feel like, you know, maybe he just wants to get it over with and he'll figure out a long-term deal right now. So six teams, not counting the Knicks, are in play here. And I'm going to throw out the Celtics because I think Durant wants to play for a serious championship contender, and Boston's not there yet. They had a nice season, it was a real good story, but they're not there yet. They're not on the level of these other teams. So that leaves us with five teams, the Fab Five. OKC, and I'm hoping that he stays here. Not that I'm a fan of the Thunder, but so the balance of power in the league doesn't shift too much. Golden State. If KD decides to go here, just give the Warriors the NBA trophy now. I mean, can you imagine a team with Curry, Thompson, Green, and Durant? That is flat out sick. I mean, that is ridiculous. I mean, just crown them the champs right now. No disrespect to LeBron or any of those guys, but come on. The Splash Brothers, Draymond Green, and Kevin Durant? That's insanity. For a team that just set an NBA record for wins in a season without him. Now let's take a look at San Antonio. Not a great media market, and the reports that you hear, he wants to play in a big-time market. But remember, they did figure out a way to reel in LaMarcus Aldridge last year. Can you imagine Kawhi Leonard, LaMarcus Aldridge, and Kevin Durant on the same team? And you still have Tony Parker at the point. I mean, you know, wow. And as for the Clippers, if you're looking for the spotlight, it's tough to top L.A. I think you could also throw Miami in there. The players seem to love South Beach. I'm not sure what's going to happen with Chris Bosh, and that's a big salary commitment for Miami. And the Eastern Conference isn't nearly as good as the West. We all know that. Maybe that will attract Durant. That maybe he feels if he goes to Miami, I mean, you'd still have to deal with LeBron and the Cavs, but maybe that, you know, he feels like that would be a better shot to get to the finals, win a championship there. And Pat Riley can be very, very persuasive. This was the guy that got D. Wade and LeBron and Bosh all to team up in Miami. And that worked out okay. So those are your contenders. Again, throwing out Boston, even though he is scheduled to meet with the Celtics. OKC, Golden State, San Antonio, the Clippers, and the Heat. I'm kind of hoping he stays with OKC and you have that 1-2 punch with Russell Westbrook. If he goes to Golden State and San Antonio, you know, you're just looking at a super team right there. I mean, it's almost the dream team right there. Where do you think Durant ends up? Does he sign a long-term deal now or maybe wait a year and just do a one-year deal with the Thunder? You can respond on Twitter. I'm at the Sports RPT, the Sports RPT on Twitter. We'll get to some shocking news in the world of soccer coming up and much more on the NBA. Talk about Derrick Rose going to the Knicks, my thoughts on the NBA draft, and some final thoughts on Game 7 from a financial perspective between the Cavs and the Warriors. All that still coming up. First, I want to tell you about our great sponsor, though, and that is iHome. iHome has a new weather-tough line of Bluetooth speakers. They are waterproof, they are rust-proof, and they are military standard shock-proof. These things are tough. From Bluetooth and docking clock radios to portable wireless speakers, iHome combines great value and exceptional quality. You get the best of both worlds with iHome. iHome also features a full line of quality headphones and earbuds for the fitness guru, the traveler, and hey, the summer's here. More and more people are traveling right now. Or if you just need headphones or earbuds for hanging out at home and relaxing, go to iHomeAudio.com, look at all their great products, check out their apps and their accessories. iHome is also the number one brand in digital speakers. The website, again, iHomeAudio.com. The sound quality can't be beat, and all their stuff looks really, really cool. The website, again, iHomeAudio.com. Real quickly on soccer. Last night, Chile beat Argentina 4-2 on penalty kicks in the Copa America final in New Jersey. This was a feisty matchup here. One player on each team was ejected. There were eight yellow cards. The game was scoreless through regulation, and people who like to take shots at soccer, they're going to bring this up over and over. No goals through regulation. Then they play 30 minutes of extra time. No goals there. Argentina outshot Chile 16-4. I mean, this one really, really stinks. Like I said earlier, it worked out well for me because I watched the season finale of Game of Thrones. Great episode. And the last two episodes, both absolutely phenomenal. And then I flip back to Copa America and the game's still going on. I saw the goalie make a terrific save for Chile in extra time on a header that he just barely deflected over the crossbar. Tremendous save. Could have ended it right there. They go to penalty kicks, and Chile wins it 4-2. Now, Messi had a penalty kick that went over the crossbar. I mean, we're talking about one of the greatest players. Some may say the greatest player ever. I mean, people mention him with Pele and certainly Ronaldo. I mean, that seems to be a hot debate right now. Diego Maradona, he is mentioned with those guys. And he missed a penalty kick? I claim to be, you know, Mr. Soccer here. But, I mean, what's the comparison? Would this be like Michael Jordan missing a layup or missing a free throw in overtime in the NBA Finals? And I know Copa America isn't the World Cup, so maybe not the NBA Finals. Maybe, what, the conference semis or the conference finals, something like that. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. I mean, this guy is so good. Remember the goal he had against the U.S. where he's tying his shoes and then he hits a rocket into the upper 90. Well, he sailed this thing over the crossbar. And after the match, out of nowhere, Messi says he's done with the national team. He is retiring. Apparently, it was a WWE retirement match, although I didn't see Vince McMahon in the stands in Jersey. I mean, this guy is only 29. He just turned 29. Five-time FIFA Player of the Year, but he's lost four finals now. He lost the 2014 World Cup final and three Copa America finals with Argentina, including the last 2 years in penalty kicks to Chile. And he was devastated after the game. Completely devastated. Now, some of his teammates said, you know, maybe he responded too quickly. Maybe he'll change his mind, that he was just so depressed right after the loss that he came out and said that he's retired from the national team. Maybe, you know, he'll change his mind. He is Argentina's all-time leading scorer, 55 goals. And when you talk about the best to have ever played the game, Messi's mentioned. But in the finals, just doesn't seem to be able to get the job done. So that was a shocker. Again, I'm not a huge soccer fan, but I'll watch these big tournaments. You got the Euro going on now. I'll watch some of those games. And now one of the greatest players is saying, I'm out, done, misses the PK, and that's it. Hang up the cleats for the national team. As for the United States, finished fourth in the Copa America, I don't think we can complain, right? I mean, no way they were beating Argentina. I will walk to Argentina if the U.S. beats that team. In fact, in that game, that semifinal, we lost 4-0, which in baseball, what's that equivalent to? Like a baseball team losing 25-0? We didn't even have a shot in the game. Our next shot against Argentina will be our first shot against Argentina. But listen, I had zero expectations. I was hoping it might be a little bit closer than 4-0. But hey, I mean, that's a world-class team. And I think the U.S. is ranked 31 in the world. We're just not on that level. You know, I hope we can get there, but we just aren't on that level. You know, these teams, you know, like Germany, like Italy, you know, these powerhouse teams that year in and year out are always right there. We're not there. And we have some nice young players. And this was a nice run to get in the semifinals. Again, I don't think anybody can complain, but it is what it is. You know, just like I said, the Celtics aren't on the same level as the Warriors or the Spurs or OKC or teams like that. That's just the way it is. And the U.S. just is not on that elite tier. But soccer fans, you can weigh in on Twitter at the Sports RPT, the Sports RPT. Two questions. What did you think about the U.S. result losing a 1-0 to Colombia in the third place match, finishing fourth, and also the stunner from Messi that he's retiring from the national team? Let me know on Twitter at the Sports RPT. All right, moving along here on episode number 423 of the Sports Report podcast. Let's get back to some hoops. Talk about this Knicks deal with the Bulls. The Knicks get Derrick Rose. And New York trades Robin Lopez, Jose Calderon, and Jerian Grant to Chicago, which sent Rose, Justin Holiday, and a 2017 second-round pick back to the Knicks. And the second-round picks, you know, not a big deal there. Now, Rose, a native of Chicago, drafted by the Bulls with the number one overall selection out of Memphis in 2008. I mean, the way he started, Rookie of the Year, 2008, 2009, a couple years later is the MVP. I mean, it looked like this was a marriage made in heaven. But then injury after injury after injury, just very unfortunate. Since that MVP season. Now, he did improve this past season, averaged about 16.5 points per game, and that'll help the Knicks out. They needed something at the point guard spot. They averaged a league-low 7.5 points per game from their point guards. I mean, that's just not getting the job done. Rose is 27 years old. I think maybe some people think he's older just because of all the injuries. He's got a year left on his contract, and he's owed $21.3 million. Now, that is a lot of money, but it's 1 year. He'll be a free agent after the 2016-2017 season. Hasn't been back to the All-Star game since 2012, and you know, part of that's just he hasn't been playing. He sat out all of the 2012-2013 season, only played 10 games in the 2013-2014 campaign, and then played in a little over half the games in 2014-2015. Now, this season, he played in 66 games. So if you're a Knicks fan, you like that. As for what Chicago got in return, Robin Lopez has been around a little bit, 8-year NBA player. He started every game for the Knicks last season, 10 points, 7 boards, 1.5 blocks. He's okay. Calderon's a veteran. You know, knows how to run the show, but not a great player. Averaged 7.5 points, 4 assists. And then you have Grant out of Notre Dame, was the 19th overall pick in the 2015 draft. Played 76 games as a rookie. Averaged 5.5 points. The Knicks would like to target Bulls center Joakim Noah, reportedly, and Noah is close with Rose, so that's something to keep an eye on to try and replace Lopez in the middle. Another option, potentially, is Dwight Howard, who's a free agent. The Knicks are going to have about $30 million to spend in free agency, although, as I've said before, there are a lot of teams that are going to have a lot of cash to spend in free agency. Now, I know the Knicks are a punching bag in NBA circles. Everybody likes to take their shots, and rightfully so. But just evaluating this trade, just this deal, I like it for several reasons. Number one, New York needed a point guard. We've already talked about that. Number two, Rose was much better this past season. He played more and his scoring average was up 16.5 a game. Number three, he only has the 1 year left in his contract and he's a free agent. So it's not a long-term commitment. Could be 1 year and that's that. Goodbye. Number four, they didn't give up any stars to get Rose. And Robin Lopez is okay. He hustles. He plays hard. He's okay. Nothing special. Calderon, no spring chicken. And Grant is still a question mark. He's only played 1 year in the NBA. So I think the Knicks did okay here. I mean, imagine if Rose gets back to where he was. I mean, then it looks like a steal for New York. So do you give the Knicks for a change here? You know, I know this sounds awkward to say, but do the Knicks deserve credit? Let me know on Twitter at the Sports RPT. The Sports RPT on Twitter. All right, let's keep it rolling here on episode number 423 of the Sports Report. I'm Paul Roberts. Thanks so much for tuning in. With you every Monday on The Grizz, that's grizzlyproductions.tv, and on iTunes in the podcast section there. Just do a search for Paul Roberts, The Sports Report, voila. You can catch this show and all the previous shows as well on iTunes and on The Grizz. Going into this year's NBA draft, two players stood above the rest, and both one-and-done college guys, Ben Simmons from LSU, Brandon Ingram from Duke, two very, very different players. I thought all along Simmons should go number one overall, and my opinion on that has never changed. Nowadays, there are so many media outlets, TV, radio, newspaper, websites, blogs, everything on the internet. And I think people often try to be different just to stand out. I think this was a good example because as we got closer to the draft, the trendy McTrendersons who talk about hoops were starting to create a little bit of a buzz for Ingram to go number one. And I believe a lot of this was people simply trying to be different, trying to go against the norm, trying to, as I like to call it, outthink the room, which generally is not a good thing. I've got nothing against Ingram. Don't get me wrong here. He could end up being an all-star, but when I evaluate a player's complete game, Ben Simmons is a better overall player than Ingram. He just is. Ingram, clearly the better shooter. No argument there. But I like Simmons as the total package more than I do Ingram. Simmons is 6'10", about 245. He has an NBA body right now. Ingram does not. I mean, this guy is rail thin, definitely needs to bulk up, definitely needs to get stronger. Now, Kevin Durant was super skinny coming out of Texas, and we all know how good he is. Just talked about him with free agency. Ingram's only 18, so he has a lot of time to put on some weight and get bigger. As a rookie, though, I wonder how he's going to hold up, especially underneath the boards. Is he going to get pushed around? I don't have that concern with Ben Simmons. Simmons can handle it. He can rebound. He averaged 19 and 12 at LSU. It wasn't like he was scoring 10 a game. You know, I've heard some critics say, well, he didn't score enough. He got 19 points a game. I love his basketball IQ. This kid plays the game the right way. He is unselfish. He'll make the extra pass. He'll pass up a good shot for a better shot. He can play multiple positions. He can post you up. He can get a rebound, go coast to coast. He can play the high post area. He is a true point forward at 6'10". And you hear that phrase a lot, point forward. That's what he is. He is a rare commodity. Now, he only took 3 3-pointers all season. You know, some people were saying how bad of a shooter. It wasn't that he missed a lot. He didn't take a lot. 3 threes all season. So he needs to work on his shooting, but the positives clearly outweigh the negatives. Some media bobbleheads ripped him because LSU didn't make the tournament. I watch a ton of college basketball, okay? And LSU was dysfunctional. They really were. I'm the guy staying up past midnight to watch Mountain West Conference games or the WAC. So I've seen LSU. There was no chemistry there, no consistency. I thought they were poorly coached. They had some guys who thought they were a lot better than they really were. I'm not putting all of those things on Ben Simmons. LSU just was not very good. Now, could he have been more aggressive at times? Sure, but that's not his style. He is more of a facilitator, tries to get everybody involved. I've used the analogy before with LeBron that he's more like Magic than Michael. When he first came in the league, you heard all the Michael Jordan comparisons. No, Michael was a flat-out scorer. I mean, to me, Durant is more similar to Jordan because they're score-first type of guys. That's not the case with LeBron. It wasn't with Magic, and I don't think that's going to be the case with Ben Simmons. Much more of a European style to his game than your typical AAU kid who's just out to get his, just looking to put up numbers to impress the college coaches who were there. So bottom line, I think the Sixers made the right call taking Simmons with the top choice. The Lakers got Ingram, which was the obvious selection. And now they have D'Angelo Russell, Julius Randle, and Ingram. Those are three nice pieces to build around for new head coach Luke Walton. And LA also has a boatload of cap space. But as I said, they're not alone there. As for surprises in the draft, Boston taking Jaylen Brown third. He's a forward from Cal, has an NBA body, 6'7", 225. Certainly wasn't nearly as productive as some other guys on the board. And no way did I think that Brown was the third best player in this draft. A lot of talk about the Celtics trading the 3 pick. Philadelphia, and I'm an hour outside of Philadelphia. My radio station carries the Sixers, so I pay very, very close attention to the 76ers. Philadelphia definitely was looking to move up to get Chris Dunn, the point guard from Providence, who I love. Really, really, really like his game. The Sixers reportedly offered Nerlens Noel, Robert Covington, and picks 24 and 26. I definitely would have given that up for Dunn, but the Sixers could not work anything out with Boston or with Minnesota, who ended up getting Dunn at number 5. Dunn, 6'4", can really play defense. He's a 4-year college player, so he's ready to step in and play now. The Timberwolves have Ricky Rubio, so I was not expecting them to take Dunn. That did catch me off guard a little bit. But back to Philly for a second. If you wonder why I rant and rave about how stupid it is simply to draft the best player available, take a look at the Sixers and that roster. You have Noel. You have Jahlil Okafor. You have Joel Embiid. And you have Dario Saric, who's overseas. He may be coming over this year. At worst, he's coming over next year. Lots of teams are playing small ball. And then you have the Sixers, who are going to be starting 3 centers, a forward, and a guard. I mean, seriously, you can't play all these big men together. You can't. So now they're stuck trying to make a trade, and other teams know that, so you don't have any leverage. And they were not able to get a deal done on draft night. So please, please, do not utter the words best player available around me. I will reach for my old rusty nail and stick it directly into my eardrums. You must consider position in any draft, not just basketball. I feel the same way about football too. I've used the example before with Tom Brady or a Joe Montana or a Dan Marino. When the Dolphins had Marino or the Niners had Montana or Brady was in his prime with the Patriots. You mean to tell me that if the best player on the board is a quarterback, that's who you're taking? That's insanity. Stupidity. It's just ridiculous. You have to consider position. You draft a quarterback there, they're never going to play. And in the NBA, same thing is true, especially now with all the small ball and teams, you know, sometimes only playing one big on the floor. You looked at the Warriors, sometimes you have Draymond Green out there as their biggest guy. Yeah, you have the six. I can just hear the PA announcer now. And starting at center, starting at center, starting at center, starting at forward, and starting at guard. You know, you have to look at position. Okafor, Embiid, Noel, Saric, Simmons, you can't all play together. So somebody's got to go, and keep your eyes on the Sixers this offseason. I was hoping that they could pull off a deal to get done, but no dice. Boston and Minnesota apparently said thanks, but no thanks. At number four, Phoenix went with Dragan Bender, the 7-1 forward from Croatia. He's only 18. He's your classic stretch four, seven-footer, can step out and shoot it. After what Kristaps Porzingis did in his rookie season with the Knicks, I don't think many people are questioning the pick of Bender. I got on the Knicks pretty hard last year, and Porzingis proved me wrong. So I am not going to question the Suns for going with Bender this year. Bender was one of 26 international players drafted this year. That's a record. Previous high was 21 in 2003. 14 international players went in round one. That is the most all time. Definitely a global game. I do, however, believe that some fans lose interest in the draft now because they don't know anything about a lot of these foreign players, and they just tune it out. That was the sense that I got on social media following Twitter on the night of the draft. I mentioned Chris Dunn went fifth. Buddy Hield went to New Orleans at number six. What a season he had for Oklahoma. Flat out can score, plain and simple. He puts the ball in the bucket. At number seven, Denver got Jamal Murray, who is the best shooter in this draft. I think the Nuggets got a steal with Murray at seven. He averaged 20 a game at Kentucky, and he made 113 threes. From there on, I thought it was a crapshoot. No one really stood out to me after Murray at number seven. Marquise Chris from Washington went eighth. He's another stretch four. He only played 25 minutes a game at Washington, another one and done. He's a big risk to me. He's a boom or bust type of player. At number 14, the Bulls picked Denzel Valentine, the Big Ten player of the year from Michigan State. Now, there were concerns about his right knee, and some of the mock drafts had him falling late in the first round. That did not happen, so good for him. He had a great college career, really improved. I mean, really improved every single year under Coach Izzo. Every year I'm surprised at the college players who were really, really productive, yet fall to the second round, and this year was no exception. Here are some of the guys who were great in college, but got passed over in the first round. Tyler Ulis, little guy from Kentucky, he's only about 5'8", 5'9", went 34 to Phoenix. I mean, Ulis was a first-team All-American. Malcolm Brogdon from Virginia, number 36 to Milwaukee, averaged 18 a game. Also, first-team All-American, shot almost 40% from three. Isaiah Whitehead from Seton Hall went number 42 to Utah. He averaged 18 a game, 5 assists, came on late for Seton Hall. Demetrius Jackson is a guy I really like. In fact, I wanted the Sixers to take him at number 24 or 26. Well, he doesn't go until number 45 to Boston. Very athletic guard, averaged 16 a game and 5 assists for the Irish. A.J. Hammonds, you're looking for a big guy. Here's a 7-footer out of Purdue, went 46 to Minnesota. He averaged 15 points, 8 rebounds, 2.5 blocks, and he did all that in 25 minutes a game. Michael Beneje from the Cuse went number 49 to Detroit, another guy who really, really improved under Jim Boeheim. He averaged 17 a game, 39% from three. George Niang from Iowa State went with the next pick, number 50, to Indiana. He is a point forward, 6'8", averaged 20 points, 6 rebounds. He's got an old school game, a throwback type of player. Athletically, you're not going to be real impressed, but he knows the game. He was a second-team All-American, goes number 50. Marcus Page, point guard, lefty from North Carolina, went number 55 to the Nets. Those guys are all sleepers in my book. All of them put up numbers in major conferences. So You know, they were able to get the job done against the best competition in the country. But, and with some of them, are they too old because they're 22 or 23? Is that why the NBA scouts are avoiding them? Is, you know, you're old now if you're 23, if you stayed in college for 4 years? But those are some sleepers to keep in mind that went in the second round. I want your opinions on the NBA draft on Twitter. I'm at the Sports RPT. Who should have gone number one, Simmons or Ingram? I say Simmons. What about you? Who's going to be a bust and who is the biggest steal? Let me know on Twitter at the Sports RPT. Cruising along here on episode 423 of the Sports Report. Let's stick with basketball here. Game 7. What a game. Cavs, Warriors, giant TV ratings, record ticket prices, and in Vegas, more money bet on Game 7 than any other NBA game ever. That's right. And it wasn't just the volume. The size of the bets was also larger than normal. Six-figure bets, which you don't see in the NBA. Multiple six-figure bets were placed at different sports books out in Vegas. As for ticket prices, two seats to Game 7 sold on StubHub for $49,500 each. That's not for the pair. That's for each ticket, each seat, $49,500. I mean, I love to be in that situation, to have 50 grand to kick around for a seat to Game 7. That is a record for non-suite in the site's 16-year history. StubHub record. Doesn't count suites, by the way. Guess who got a suite in AC Friday night? Yes, sir. This guy. For some reason, I think they think I'm some type of high roller, some type of whale, and I'm not. I do like to get down there a couple times a year, but I get these incredible offers. And now, even in the summertime, I'm getting suites. I mean, you should have seen my two friends. I mean, their eyes were popping out of their head to see this room. It was a senior suite, floor number 49. And there's only one floor higher, and I think that's reserved for the Don at the old Trump Taj Mahal. So that was a fun weekend. This game, back to Game 7, the most watched NBA game since Game 6 of the 1998 Finals. That was the Jazz Bulls. Chicago won it. It was ring number 6 for the Bulls. This Game 7 averaged a 15.7 rating and nearly 30.8 million viewers on ABC. The numbers peaked at more than 44.5 million viewers and a 22 rating as the Cavaliers wrapped up that final game. So just crazy. Now, averaging a 15.7 and almost 31 million viewers for Game 7. Terrific game. Really, really was. And I know some people nowadays are down on the NBA, but what a series that was. Star power, Game 7, tremendous comeback, drought ends in Cleveland, LeBron does it again, just so many storylines there. This is episode 423 of the Sports Report. Want to send you out with a couple of good stories here. Number one, Tony Stewart, the man they call Smoke. He took the checkered flag in the road race on Sunday at Sonoma, the Toyota Save Mart 350. Stewart ends an 84-race winless streak. Man, and what a finish. He passed Denny Hamlin, who led 33 laps. Hamlin actually led more laps than anybody, but Stewart passed him in the final turn. Hamlin got a little bit wide and left the inside open. Stewart snuck in there and won it. So great for him. Joey Logano was third, Carl Edwards fourth. But the story was Smoke taking the checkered flag. And then in golf, how about Billy Hurley? Gotta tip your cap to this guy. He won at Congressional in the Quicken Loans National for his first PGA Tour victory. Win number one on the tour. He finished 17 under, three strokes ahead of Vijay Singh. What makes it even more special, this course isn't far from the Naval Academy where Hurley graduated from, and he lives in Annapolis now. So we thank him for his service, and I mean, big round of applause for Billy Hurley. What a special spot for him to get his first PGA Tour victory. Congratulations. So those are some positives to go out on. This has been episode number 423. Thanks so much for tuning in. I'm with you every Monday. Let your friends know about the show. It's on The Grizz. That's grizzlyproductions.tv. And of course, in the podcast section of iTunes, just go to the podcast section there. Do a search, type in Paul Roberts, The Sports Report, my show will come up, and you can go back, listen to previous shows if you missed them. Maybe you're on vacation, running around like we all are in the summer. Schedules get crazy. You can go back and listen if you miss a week here or there. Keep those 5-star reviews coming. That helps to promote the show on iTunes, and it only takes a second. So thanks a lot there. You can comment on all the NBA topics that we covered. What do you think about D. Rose going to the Knicks? Where will Kevin Durant end up? Ben Simmons or Ingram? Who should have gone number one? Who is the biggest steal? Who's going to be a bust? The news after the Copa America final that Messi is retiring from the national team. What'd you think of the U.S.'s run to the semis in Copa America? You can weigh in on all of those on Twitter, and I hope you do. I'm at the Sports RPT. Always appreciate the new followers at the Sports RPT. That'll do it for this week. I'll talk to you again next Monday. This has been episode 423. I'm Paul Roberts on GrizzlyProductions.tv.